And welcome to season two, episode two of All Talk No Bock. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And welcome. We have our first guest of season two. Welcome, Cameron. Yay. We need a sound box where we, you know, like there you press it, it's applause. Welcome, Cameron. We're so excited to have you. And do you want to promote your own podcast a little bit? Right from the start.
Hey, I'm excited to be on. Yes, my podcast is called Rich Report, but we're also a website too, where we post columns, reviews, and recaps. But yeah, the podcast is the general sports podcast. We talk about everything from baseball to mixed martial arts and Formula Ooh. One. So definitely check Ooh. It out. We record Mondays and Wednesdays, but we also do these little one-on-one interviews on Fridays too with some. with a random person that I just happen to know, and we talk about anything from gaming to just life in general, and to we even on my last show I put out yesterday we talked about anime, so
nice.
Definitely check it out.
Some Naruto Hunter x Hunter, that's some good.
No, actually, guys. Yeah, if you ever get a chance, there's a show called Orgairu. It's actually pretty great slice of life anime.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, he knows it all. Our friend of the show, our new friend of the show, Cameron. We're so excited to have him because he is an expert. We are all experts, or we try to be. And we are going to talk about where some of baseball's hottest free agents and most talked about free agents will land for the 2021 season. Last week we played GM, and this week we're going to just play crystal ball, I guess. We're going to play Oracle, as Charles likes to say. So I think let's start with you, Charles. Tell everybody, we picked each other's free agents. So I guess there was no cheating, although like nobody's here to cheat. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but we chose each other's. So Charles, who did you get and where'd you put him?
Yeah, so I got Real Muto, top free agent from the Phillies. And that was given to me by my lovely co-host, Heather. And I would like to say that my short answer would be that he sticks with the Phillies. He should stick with the Phillies. They have the money. That's where he should go. The long answer is he leads the league in WAR for the past 3 years. He's a great base runner. His pop time is number one in Major League Baseball. So I think they should give him the money because with $39 million coming off the payroll from the likely departures of D.D. Gregorius, which is $14 million, and Jake Arrieta, $25 million, the Phillies will have enough payroll room to give Real Muto a deal with an annual value of $25 million, and that's what he's looking for. And they'll still be able to stay right under the tax threshold for 2021. Real Muto deserves this. He's the number one catcher in baseball by far. His WAR leads all others by at least four over the last 3 years. It's insane. And I'd give him the green. I mean, Joe Mauer, just 10 years ago, got an 8-year deal of $184 million. And after 10 years, I think that this is where times have gotten, and you need to keep the fans excited. However, he does decide to leave. There are a lot of potential spots. The Phillies can't afford to let him go. They can. But even though, this public sentiment is that the Phillies can't afford to lose Real Muto's talent, they can. That's not entirely true. They're just going to have to do it with a lot of other players. Most teams feel that the payroll reductions are a must after a COVID season with no fans because they didn't get any money. So you're going to have to save some money somewhere, and cutting out Real Muto's contract could be a big money saver. So at the moment, they can afford to lose him. As I said, they can replace his bat and his immense defensive skills. And it's going to take more than one player to do that. On the defensive side, I was going to go with James McCann. But unfortunately, he just got signed to the Mets, which is where I thought Real Muto would have gone because he expressed great interest in New York and he loves the Mets. So I thought that's where he was going to go, especially after they gave great signs to McCann from the Phillies and Grandal just signed with the White Sox. It was a perfect setup for the Phillies to get McCann, but unfortunately, they let that deal go. Now they have to turn to the likes of Jason Castro or even someone like Tyler Flowers from the Braves. Wouldn't be anything long-term. These guys are like 34, 35 years old, but they're great on the defensive side. Their WAR is about 3, which is pretty good over the last 3 years. Their pop times are still top six in the league. So that's something that is always a consideration. And these guys still can move, not as fast as Real Muto. As I said, Real Muto is a real base runner, but you're still going to get some good speed out of those two guys decently. You could also, you know, pinch hit or pinch run for them. And I feel that if you want to get some outfielders and replace Real Muto's bat, you could get George Springer or Zuna from the Braves. They could do like a little free agent thing where the Braves, you know, get Real Muto, and that could be a real landing spot for him now if they get rid of some of their guys like Flowers from their bench, because he's a free agent now. So it's going to be interesting. I really thought that, you know, the New York Mets were going to be a real potential landing spot for Real Muto, but I'd say he lands in Houston or Atlanta now. Wilson Ramos could also play a factor now that he's going to be gone from the Mets, so he could go to the Braves or something like that. I don't know, but the trade negotiation is going to drag out till at least January, could be February. So don't expect any answers soon. But my final say is going to be either Houston or Atlanta for Real Muto.
Okay, you took like 8 free agents there. I lost track, but that was a ton. Wow. Very well thought out. Houston's a good one. Houston's losing some offense, as you said, or potentially losing some offense. And Houston could contend in an American League West that's underwhelming, except for the Mariners, weirdly enough. Anyway.
Springer and Brantley, I mean, those guys could be gone this season, and they could also lose Castro. I mean, Castro's already gone. Excuse me. He went to the Dodgers and Padres. But, yeah, they're losing some pieces over there at Houston, and they're going to need someone like Real Muto to get the fans back excited. So we'll see. I think that that could be a real landing spot for him, and I wouldn't like it because – I would love to see Houston.
Because they bang on trash cans and cheat.
Exactly. But
something like that.
They suck.
They get the best pitcher in baseball. You know, they're going to give them the money. So whoever wants to give out the green, as I said, I think it should be the Phillies. They have so much room for them. But those are the two landing spots if they don't.
Yes, and they just signed their new GM, I believe, the Phillies. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, Dombrowski. Duh. The former Red Sox. So he'll definitely want to spend money. That's his MO. So we'll see. Reese, so tell everyone who you got, and I hope your answer is as well thought out as Charles. That's the expectation now.
Yeah, Charles, you just set the bar really high. So can't wait to disappoint literally everybody with this. But so speaking of the Astros, I got our biggest Astros hater, 2020 National League Cy Young Award winner, Trevor Bauer. And I'm going to just let every single person here guess where I'm going to send my guy, Trevor.
No, don't do it. Okay, whatever.
I'm going to do it. And you know what? I have good reasoning behind that.
Padres. Okay.
To nobody's surprise, I'm sending it to the Padres. Cameron is shaking his head. That's fine. Your mind.
So good. Okay.
Listen to me. So I'm sending him to the Padres because the Padres need a consistent starter. Clevinger is out for all of 2021 season. Yeah. We have 3 starters that are going to report to spring training. We've got Gore, we've got Patino, and then we've got Adrian Morejon. However, they're all like 20, 21 years old. They're young. We need a seasoned guy. I think that Trevor Bauer is the guy for the Padres. I think that we have an explosive offense. I think that we need some excitement on the mound. And I think that Trevor Bauer is going to be just the guy for that. I know the Padres are working with like 120 mil as far as money goes. Trevor's looking for a 1-year, $30 million contract. I mean, he's, I think, like multiple year
what
contract.
He says.
Everybody wants 1 year.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be an investment, but I think it would be a worthwhile investment. I understand kind of like what Charles was saying, money is going to be tight this season. That's also why the postseason has been so boring so far, just because literally like COVID like has wrecked everyone's bank. But listen, okay. So I was reading an article. The offseason. Oh, sorry, not postseason. The offseason. My bad. I've been up since 6:45. We've addressed this. but anyways, so the offseason has been boring. Anyways, so in terms of money, I was reading an article. It said that with the vaccine coming out, there is a possibility that ballparks could be at 20 to 25% capacity for the 2021 season. This could generate some revenue.
What?
And yeah, I don't know how much validity is in that statement, but I was reading about that this morning. And again, like, I'm not going to make any promises because the likelihood of that happening is not high in my opinion, but we'll see. Anyways, my point is if we get Trevor Bauer to the Padres are already arguably the most exciting team in baseball. We have a lot of personality on that team. Trevor Bauer has a lot of personality, so that's adding on to it. So not only is this team going to be talented, but the entertainment is going to be off the charts. If ballparks are at 20 to 25% capacity, people are going to pay money to watch a team as exciting and talented as the Padres. You get Bauer in there, that's going to be a great roster that the Padres are putting up. So you know what? He's going to the Padres. That's my final answer. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I forget where the Padres play. Is it Dodger Stadium South? Is that where it is?
It's actually the nicest ballpark in the MLB.
Petco is
nice. Mostly Dodger fans.
Great. Yeah.
Heather, don't come at me mustard yellow seats in Dodger Stadium. No.
To be fair, I love Petco Park more than I love Dodger Stadium. I just have to be honest. Every time I go to Petco Park, But hey, I did go to a Dodgers Padres game and was 90% Dodger fans, even though the stadium was pretty much filled. So, yeah.
What are you going to do, Reese? What are you going to do?
I mean, we're still getting revenue, so that's fine.
Maybe Dodgers want to go to games at their own stadium so they fill up the visitor's seats.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Charles.
That's a good one. I mean, I would, you know, if I had my draw, Trevor Bauer, I doubt he's going to, I won't say he won't start with the Padres because it could happen and they spend money, but I would say the Angels are like the most likely spot.
I think the Angels are a top contender, but I think ultimately he's going to go to the Mets. Ideally, I want him to go to the Padres. That's why I said that. But I think that realistically, the Angels and the Mets are the top two right now.
If the Dodgers just like sign him, which could very well happen, that would be hilarious.
That would be so unfair.
It's so unnecessary. I think
it's Reese so
is
unnecessary.
Right. It's either the Mets or the Padres right now, and I really hope honestly it's either of those two teams because I think it would be so entertaining to watch Bauer with Tatis and all those guys, and I also think it would be so entertaining to watch that pitching staff on the Mets now, and they just got McCann, like we were talking about. So that team could be making some money moves. And, you know, looking at the
Mets. But you're an Angels fan. How could you think they're not going to the Angels?
The Angels never get anyone that I'm expecting them to get. I mean, we get someone like Pujols and Hamilton. We get the aging veterans. Let's give Bauer, like, maybe another 5 years, and then we'll make a play for him and sign him to a 10-year contract. That's something that the Angels would do. But obviously, I would love to get Bauer. Our rotation
is
one of the worst in the league, but I don't think it's going to happen. There's not a lot of value to the Angels. Like, hey, come play with Mike Trout and come play with Mike Trout. Like, what else are you going to say?
Yeah.
Like, they just got Rendon now, but he hasn't been, you know, the top value add that we were looking for. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I don't
know. Nor is Ohtani.
For Bauer. Exactly.
Cameron, where do you think, I guess since we're talking about it, where do you think Trevor Bauer is going to go? Do you think he might go to our Dodgers? He's a Dodger fan, by the way, guys.
It depends. Like, the Dodgers could very well sign him, but it depends on what they decide to do with Julio Urias, which I'm going to talk about why the Dodgers won't get the guy I got. So depending on where the Dodgers put Urias in, whether he's a starter or he, you know, gets moved to the closer role, which I very much vouch for him taking over as the closer, it really could come down to that.
Ooh. I love that. I forgot. You know, honestly, the Dodgers are so stacked. I forgot about Julio, and he, like, basically won us two games in the playoffs. That's how, like, deep they are. I forgot about him.
Yeah, this is my way. Like, don't even come at me with, oh, my God, the Dodgers should sign Bauer. No, you know what? You need to save some for the rest of us. I'm done with the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're already trying to get LeMay. Who knows?
Yeah.
They have enough, okay? Let's slow down.
You guys,
Charles and I are going to leave this podcast.
Machado. I don't know. Whatever. And you have Dylan.
He must not be that good.
Lamet? No, he's good. What do you mean he's good? Lamet. Danielson. Danielson.
Danielson. There
you
go. Lamet.
I don't know. I'm offending some culture. What? I don't know where he's from. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the world.
Our starting rotation is consistent. I really don't. So you know what? We need some consistency. We need Bauer.
Okay. You have Garrett Richards. No, he's a free agent too. Did you have that guy named Clayton? Anyway, no, his last name is Clayton. I don't know, whatever. Doesn't matter. Padres, we're done for now. About the Padres. Enough is about. They come up every week, Cameron. Just so you know, they come up every single week, and I don't know why. every single week. So speaking of Cameron over here, our fellow Dodger fan, enough with the NL West foes. We're going to the real dudes who just won the World Series. But we're not talking about the Dodgers. We're talking about your free agents. Tell everybody who it is and where are you putting your friend?
Yeah, I just have to say it's very fun watching the little brothers of San Diego get desperate to try to beat us. So I got former Oakland A's reliever Liam Hendricks, and there's a plethora of teams that he'd be a perfect fit for. I mean, I'm going to start with the obvious here. Where he should go is Philadelphia, although apparently they only have $3 after the pandemic in their payroll. So there's out on as well. But he's a guy they desperately need, because this is a team that has the potential to make a deep postseason push. But they had an injury riddled 2019, and their bullpen was arguably the worst in history last year. Blown save, the worst bullpen ERA. Yeah. And now that they're all pretty much free agents, they can choose and pick, you know, who's going to fill those roles next year. I think it could begin with a guy as good as Liam Hendricks that can finally bring some sort of stabilization, and the Philly faithful can, you know, have faith in, okay, if we're up 5-2, we can actually win these games instead of knowing, oh, well, here we go. We got to go to the bullpen and we're probably going to blow it somehow. But yeah, I think Philadelphia would be the best fit for him. I think another team that could use a veteran arm as good as Hendricks is the Houston Astros. They relied on pretty much rookies last year. And while the rookies did show up at times, they didn't look great in the ALCS. And while they were able to push it to a game 7, they still didn't get the job done. And you had guys like Ozuna, Peacock, and Nevinsky all hurt last year. So it depends on
Peacock
how healthy they are next year. So I think Hendricks also fits perfectly well there. I think the Mets, obviously, they got all the money in the world, apparently, so they'll probably spend heavy if they can, if Hendricks is the guy they're really looking at, and then also a team that's looking to rise up in contention as well in the Chicago White Sox.
Didn't the Mets just get a new owner, and that owner is like the richest owner in baseball now or something like that?
Yep.
I don't know. Whatever. They're like the second string team in New York, so whatever. Yeah, that's a good choice. I really do think the Dodgers will sign him. I really do. With this one, I don't think that with Trevor Bauer, but I think the Dodgers will just be like, fuck it. Excuse my language. Don't excuse my language.
Family podcast.
We're not a family. We're not really a family podcast. I hope we're not a family podcast based on the things we've talked about. Anyway, that's a good one. Yes, Houston's come up quite a bit here. They sort of left my radar a little bit. So I guess I'll go and I'll be quick. My person, you know, I really wanted to be able to hate on, you know, a Michael Brantley or a George Springer, because they're the worst and I hate Houston with every fiber of my being. And I think at this point, Houston natives hate Houston, but I'm not like positive on that. I don't know. But I got Marcell Ozuna, who's a free agent that I believe is talked about less just in the MLB realm, like MLB Network, et cetera. And I also chose two teams that we haven't mentioned at all here today. Of where he could potentially go. So first of all, and they both were not contenders last year, which makes this a little bit interesting. So bear with me here. First of all, Marcell Ozuna used to be good defensively, but is like not good defensively. And he wasn't good defensively. He hasn't been good defensively in the past. And they made him basically a DH last year in Atlanta when the National League teams had the DH, which I think they will still have the DH eventually, if not next season, then when they do the collective bargaining agreement in 2022. So that changes the whole thing because of the National League teams and the DH and stuff like that. But I chose a National League team and an American League team. So my National League team, for if he were to be an outfielder, I would choose, Cameron, you're going to be shocked, the San Francisco Giants. I think the San Francisco Giants are anemic offensively, and he's a big, big bat. I think he would be a sort of star-ish. He's not a star, but he's sort of star adjacent. And he was very good last season and for the Braves. And I think that he would be sort of that star presence that they've been like desperately needing on that team. And it's a big market. We forget that they won 3 World Series in 5 years, and they had all, you know, they had Buster Posey still there, but he's sort of a shell of himself. Madison Bumgarner was a star. We all know that. Tim Lincecum, you know, the names, I don't need to say them. I'm not obviously I'm a Dodger fan, so I don't like to talk about the Giants.
I was about to say, big San Francisco Giants, Heather, is your like brain exploding? Is like chills down your spine? Is it like,
I think they have money and they would spend it. I think they need, yeah. And they have, Yastrzemski, who's basically like their up and comer guy, but he's already older because they called him up much later than they normally call up a rookie. So that would just make a really good outfield, I think. And so that was my National League pick. But I think sort of more likely because of that DH role for next season, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox want to be relevant again. And they also need some bats in that lineup. Well, they need everything. Their pitching has been a mess. Chris Sale got Tommy John. Although, will he be back next season or is it the season after that? I don't know. And I think they want to, you know, contend again. And I think they're looking at the Yankees as not having enough starting pitching. I think they're looking at the Blue Jays as being too young. I think they're looking at the Orioles as being bad for an eternity. And I think they're looking at the Rays as having lost Charlie Morton, and they're cheap and they don't pay anybody. And they're probably going to lose Blake Snell too. So I think the Red Sox are looking at it like nobody's considering us. But hell, we're the Red Sox. We've won how many World Series since 2000? Like 5? I don't know. One of them was against the Dodgers. We all know this. So again, I don't like talking nicely about the Red Sox, just like the Giants. But I think those are my two.
Yeah, they're spots. Going to roll right now.
What? With what? Those are good picks? You like my picks?
I actually do like your picks.
I think the Red Sox is more likely than the Giants, but I think Reese was alluding more to the fact that you're just giving props and hoping that Ozuna lands on teams that you just despise. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ozuna can
but
go
on. But I also
do
appreciate your pick.
Yeah, Ozuna can tag up way too early and be the catalyst for blowing a 3-1 series lead for the Giants now. So, yeah, bring it on. I'm all for it.
Yes, wasn't that a beautiful moment? That Mookie throw and that whole play was so good. But yes, I was trying to be nice to ourselves.
He needs to get thrown.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was terrible. Why? Who doesn't tag up? Like, that's such a rookie mistake. I mean, that's terrible. Like, that's horrible. Anyway, so those are my picks. And everybody did a really good job. I'm really impressed with, like, the depth that everybody went to. So good job, everybody. We will be right back for your take, our take, coming up.
Welcome back to All Talk No Balk. This is your favorite segment and ours. We're getting into your take, our take. We got a very special topic today. What would be our rookie rituals for the newbies in the league? What kind of shenanigans would we put them up to? What kind of good bonding tactics would we have? Like anything?
Bonding tactics. That's a really good way of phrasing it.
Yeah. What kind
Amazing.
Of
thing
we get to bring the team together through these rookie rituals? So we'll go to our guest first. Cameron, what is your rookie ritual that you would bring into MLB?
All right. So when I played Little League, you know, I stopped playing baseball when I was 12. But the one thing that always scared me and one thing I always got anxious about are my batting gloves in my bag. Because Lord knows if it's a cold day and I got to go to the plate with no batting gloves, I'm going to be in a lot of pain. So, rookies. instead of, you know, no batting gloves for an entire rookie season, because that's obviously going to take a toll on your hands, you know, there's going to be games. You know, it's going to be, you don't want to do it for every game, but there are going to be games throughout the season where you may your batting gloves are in your bag, but nope. Somebody's taking your batting gloves out, and we're going to hide them somewhere in the stadium. It could be anywhere in the stadium.
You savage.
You got to go out and find your batting gloves before game time. If you can't, you get no batting gloves for the game. So, yes,
game,
but there will be a specific – there will be random games just at any moment. Most likely road trips where you got to go out and find your own batting gloves before the game. And if you don't, well, we'll get them to you after the game, but you will go the entire game without them.
You're already nervous on your first road games, and you can't find your batting gloves. You gotta go through that, Cameron. Man,
horrible.
That's crazy.
I love it. Would it be like game two of the World Series? Like, would you really?
Not in the postseason. No, you've earned your stripes if we get to the postseason. So
there we go. Yeah, Cameron's got his limits, like we all do. It's got to be the regular season.
You have limits. Okay, that's a good one. I mean, wow, that's pretty savage. I wasn't that mean, I don't think. Maybe I was. Who knows? Reese, what's yours?
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of limits, I clearly have none because mine. So them dress up as like members of different boy bands and then perform outside the stadium.
I love it.
So would you get a group of rookies to get like explain this?
Yeah. I wouldn't like humiliate them individually. It would be a group collective thing. Bonding, remember? Shared trauma, you might say.
Shared trauma.
A bunch of rookies get together and do like a Backstreet Boys. I want it that
way. Right. Exactly. Or like a One Direction.
Boys, NSYNC. Yeah, One Direction, Jonas Brothers. They can have dance routines and everything. But yeah, so they'll dress up as boy bands and then perform accordingly.
And this is in front of fans?
Yeah. Or just anyone outside.
That's awesome. I mean, that's like cool entertainment at that point.
Like
right, exactly. It's also a marketing strategy.
Yeah, you know, they run the bases and they have like Big Bang Friday or Spectacular Saturday. They could do like a game on Sunday where they have like the rookies perform after the game. I think that's awesome.
BP, that they can have a concert before pre-game entertainment.
That's a good
one. What would be, Reese, if you had to pick like maybe three songs on a set list, what would you go with?
Okay, obviously Bye Bye Bye, no question there.
Okay, well that's a gimme. Too easy. Okay,
I like it.
Go.
Okay, and then Year 3000 by the Burning Up by the Jonas Brothers.
That's better, that's better.
And then one of them would have to do the red dress, Joe Jonas, go very hard on that one. You know what I'm talking about? And then What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction has to be on there.
Of course.
It's a classic that's going down in history, so there you go.
Bring it all together. Would they do, like, old school boy bands, like the Beatles?
Sure. I don't think the Beatles are as embarrassing, but they can. Maybe as the encore, they can do the Beatles.
Now we gotta test their vocal cords. Make them actually, you know, sing. Give them some like Boys to Men or something. Like make it really embarrassing.
90 degrees, or that'd be good. Now I like. Are they lip syncing or are they actually singing?
No, they're actually singing.
Okay. Wow. Yes. So they have to like be on key. Wow, that's a hard. Yeah. The heart, tall tale.
They have to prepare for this.
I love it.
I Want It That Way should be in there. That's
oh my god. Okay, yeah. I'm getting rid of Bye Bye Bye. I Want It That Way is going to be on there. That replaces Bye Bye Bye. Thank you, Charles.
Of course.
That's a rival. You just replaced NSYNC with Backstreet Boys.
I know, but I Want It That Way. Yeah, I do want it.
That'll offend somebody in 1998. Charles, what's your rookie ritual?
Charles is going to have a really good rookie ritual, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
Mine's more a little classic and more trying to bring the team together. You guys are mean, man. I mean, I'm trying to, like, let these rookies connect with the team, and you're making them sing like boy bands or try to find their gear. I was thinking rookies could – I have, like, three different ideas that are pretty funny. So One, they could start off by carrying kids' backpacks for the first couple of games, and they have to be either like pink, purple, or red. I think that would be hilarious. And then
wow, specific that, color?
For series that they win, the rookies have to cook dinner for the team, and then they have to clean up afterwards. I think that would be great, get the team all
yummy
together.
Like pasta and, night?
Yeah, like pasta night, something easy. Like they have to whip up like a big like pasta salad with like bread and other things. We used to do that
bread
in high school.
That's actually really like good for them for the following game. So
bread is tough, especially if you have to make it from scratch. It's
oh, like fun. Homemade bread.
Oh
like
yeah, we're getting
that? Oh, that'd be cool.
Here. Yeah, and along with what Reese was saying, I went with dance competitions instead of sing-offs, so we could have like different dance-offs between the rookies after games. That could be fun for
any. That's a good one.
Also, do like dance-offs with the Backstreet Boys competition going on.
Yeah, maybe Charles. If our teams play each other, your rookies can join my rookies, and they can have a whole
routine. We'll dance for y'all, and then you'll provide the music. That's
the greatest crossover episode in television history. Let's go.
We do Boys to Men. We could bring in like the cast of How I Met Your Mother. They love them, and
perfect.
We could bring in like Neil Patrick Harris. All these guys would be hilarious. But, yeah,
first
would be my rookie traditions.
Yeah.
Or ritual.
Well, first of all, Reese, the best crossover episode in cinematic and television history is That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana. And I mean, the bar is too high for anybody.
That's so Raven and Hannah. Yeah, I remember that one.
That's too high. But yeah, that's
is that on Disney Plus? Sorry, side note. Yeah. Like, is that on? It is? Okay.
It is.
I know what
there's,
I'm doing.
Oh,
Life
yeah.
Cody, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it since I was 8 years old, for sure. Like, a couple times. Not gonna lie.
Of course.
That's a really, yeah, I'm liking this, like, you know what's funny about mine? It sort of incorporates Cameron and Charles and Reese. It incorporates sort of all of your ideas. So I think this is a really good way to go, the order in which we went. So I have two ideas, sort of like Charles. My first one is a bit more mellow. It's every, like, once a week for the whole season, and if the Dodgers make it to the postseason or whatever team, I guess we didn't say what team we're necessarily representing here, like what team we're on, I guess. So whatever team it is, I would say I would get two rookies, two of the same rookies. And each time, once a week, they come into the locker room, they have to dress up as a different Harry Potter character because when Cameron, you were 12, you were playing Little League. When I was 12, I was coming home from middle school, getting right into my full Harry Potter attire, sitting on my couch and reading Harry Potter very fast, over and over again. So that was what I was doing. And I'm probably nerdier today, if that's even possible. So this is fulfilling a childhood fantasy. I would get them to dress up in a different Harry Potter character's full attire. And I mean like full robe, cardigan, bottom, if it's skirt or short, the Mary Jane shoes, the whole bit, and wand, and it has to be authenticated.
The color scheme too, like they gotta be Gryffindor, Slytherin.
Oh, absolutely, yes. What? No, that goes without saying. Or they could be in their Quidditch attire, which of course is, I'm not even gonna explain Quidditch for those that don't know. You guys should all know what Quidditch is. So they would dress up and then they would have a wand fight with the other person, and they would have to throw out spells, and it would have to be real, and it would be filmed and go on my YouTube channel. And that would be, that's one of them. Okay. I changed my mind. Two different rookies every time. Two different rookies once a week.
Yeah, really don't fun. Do the same one, that's boring.
Yeah, but maybe I'd shuffle them up. Maybe you know, you're playing a different, maybe you're versing a different,
and then
it
goes on
of
the
course,
whole season, correct?
Right. And of course, the last
regular season, or are we including postseason?
We're including postseason. Okay. Keep the mood light in the clubhouse.
Raise the morale. Okay.
Yeah, that's how the Dodgers won versus the Braves. They just like stayed positive.
Big Harry Potter competitions in the locker room.
That's how they won. The spells in the clubhouse, and of course the. If we made, you know, whatever the last week is, I guess sometimes it's hard to predict because you're in the postseason. But if they were making all the way to the World Series, that last week would be Harry Potter versus Voldemort. That's how you'd be dressing. You'd have to with the nose. What? What did he say?
Avada Kedavra.
That's right, Charles. You're halfway there. Actually, technically, it was Expelliarmus from Harry, and it was Avada Kedavra from Voldemort.
That's what
and
I
they
said.
Combined.
I said
oh, that's
Voldemort.
What you said.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
you said. Okay.
Did you not hear his voice get like extremely hoarse? He was obviously Voldemort. He got very into character.
Cameron's like, where am I right now?
Oh, I'm a Harry Potter fan. I'm not. Yeah.
Okay, you got it. So that would be one. The other one, which would be more an in-game experience, which we haven't really touched on. Well, the batting gloves is also in-game, but. Going back to my walk-up song, in which I said that if I were a relief pitcher, I would have London Bridge playing by Fergie. Cameron, go back and watch that episode. So going off of that, I was sort of thinking that, and I thought about it, like, that'd be really fun, because most of the songs are just, like, whatever, except for, like, Kenley's Tupac. That's a really fun one. But here's a twist. Every relief pitcher, rookie, would have a different song. And depending on who was called up in that game, the first rookie to be called out of the bullpen per game would have their song blasting, and they would have to either dance to the mound or they would have to, like, catwalk, model walk to, like, a really fun, like, a Fergie, a Nelly Furtado, a Sierra. You know, Black Eyed Peas, that's also Fergie, a Beyonce,
like
Madonna. It would have to be really fun.
Would they be dressed up on their way to the mound if they're going to catwalk? And then they can, like, change into their cleats once they get there?
Well, that's really hot. Well, maybe heels, but that'd be really,
they
like, in-game. They might
stick
in
the grass a little bit, though. Well, okay, yeah, obviously they're not playing in-game heels. In heels. They would change after.
I mean,
it would be incredibly difficult. But
remember, pace of play is now exist in MLB.
Oh,
so you have about like a minute 45.
That's right, Cameron. Yeah, they don't want to make it like 2 hours just to get the pitcher onto the mound now.
You can't even have dugout meetings anymore. You can't even go out to the mound anymore. You get like two attempts. You get two like a game now. So yeah, definitely.
Well, right. But this is different. This is when they're walking out from, rather than like running boringly from the dugout or whatever they do from the dugout, this would just give it a little spice is all. It shouldn't take that much more time. It wouldn't be like a choreographed dance. It would just be like, a, you know, like move your hips a little bit. Move your hips,
freestyle.
Get the crowd in it. Maybe do a little lip syncing. Maybe get the, you know, get the crowd really hyped.
Just rookies. I would love to see someone like.
Wouldn't that be
fun? Yeah, right?
Could you imagine big, sexy Bartolo Colon coming out and just like dancing out there?
He's a starter. He's not a relief pitcher.
I'm just saying, I don't think it should be designated to just one area. Let them all do it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we're talking about like marketing tactics and stuff. I mean, listen, by the time the relief pitchers come in, unless you have like an opener or something, everybody's like tired.
Like, you're welcome.
It's like late at night. People are like cold and they, you know, it's sort of boring. They want the game to just end. Why not like get the crowd back in it? You know, the regular season's long and it'd be the postseason too. This isn't exclusive. Really get the energy going.
Yeah, they could do a little dance during like the seventh inning stretch.
Well, that's different because they play Take Me Out of the Ball Game. So that's like a different thing.
Dance.
I mean, then you would be Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I mean, you would have to like compromise.
You can keep Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
So you would dance to that? It's not exactly like a, you know, funky tune.
You can dance to anything.
Sort of slow. Okay, that's true. That's true. Anyway, those are mine. Everybody had a really good one though. I'm really,
another one though. What if another one could be if on opening day you had all the rookies come out and they were the ones to sing the national anthem?
I mean, it's not like borderline offensive if they're so bad. Disrespecting.
How hard is it to sing?
I like that. Yeah. Bring yeah. up thing. Yeah.
Some should argue we should have a different national anthem because the national anthem was written by Francis Scott Key, who was a slave owner, but that's neither here nor there. That'll be for another episode. anyway, Cameron, do you have anything to add? Do you want to add another one?
I don't have any. I was just really thinking about all my days that I forgot to bring my batting gloves from home or only had one batting glove in my bag. So.
Oh, no. I think if you had one batting glove, you would want it on your dominant hand, right? If you had to pick, I would imagine. Because the hand that's, like, holding the bat back, right?
Yeah, I'd probably go on my right hand because I was lefty, so I'd swing back in the bat, you know, the backswing, you know, would be on your right hand. So
Okay, I see. Wow, you're a southpaw. I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah. Charles, any last minute thoughts?
All good. Those are some good ones.
Yeah, we picked some really good ones. These are thinkers. Maybe MLB would do a better time of reaching a younger audience if they just instituted some of these rookie rituals. Hazing free.
You're listening to this. That's free marketing.
It's free marketing, like last week's alcoholic beverages and the Pirates. So we will wrap it up.
Thank you for listening to All Talk No Bach. We'd like to thank our guest, Cameron Richardson, for joining us. Thank you so much, Cameron. And thank you to all of our listeners who are listening on this fine Tuesday on Spotify. Make sure to follow us on social media. We got Instagram. Our LinkedIn is up. We got Twitter. TikTok is coming soon. Our merchandise is up for you guys to buy. We got a lot of cool stuff via Redbubble. So make sure you go on and purchase our merch, and we got a lot of cool stuff on there for you guys. As always, we're going to have our next episode on next Saturday, so make sure you catch that. And Heather, anything else?
Yes, well, as Charles said, we are getting our TikTok up and running slowly but surely, and our YouTube will also have new content in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. Separately, we are bringing on new writers and a new content producer. So if you would like to apply to any of those positions with All Talk No Bog, head over to Indeed and check out those ads. And if you feel like you want to be a part of this crazy, crazy, wacky, wild, weird, but awesome and fun and brilliant team, then we'd love to have you. So check out those ads on Indeed. And yeah, go buy our merch. We'll have new designs shortly. We're really excited about. They're really cool. Things are looking really good. So very talented graphic designers we have. Everybody on our staff is really talented. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you to my lovely co-hosts, Charles and Reese, as always. Tori and Andrew, if you're listening somewhere in the universe, we missed you. We hope to see you soon. Everybody have a great Tuesday, a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye!
Bye, guys. Take care.